Hello and welcome to the Bellcast, the Underground Cast, the Bouge Cast, episode number 2. This is Lorenzo, joined with Mike and Kevin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mike?
We're back.
Yes.
We're back. Hopefully we won up the first one. I was saying to Kevin the other day, you got to get a few under your belt before you kind of get it all smoothed out, right?
Yeah. Kevin's getting married.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Remember last episode we were talking about weddings? The whole time he had the ring in his pants. Okay. So, Happy New Year, all that fun stuff. We were just talking about the food situation at the Bell Works, right? Hummus and Pita opened up. Yes. I heard it's a great place.
Sounds like it.
Some people enjoy it more than others, from what we've been hearing.
Yes. It's good to have it there. Have you guys eaten there?
Yeah, had it a few times. I mean, the line is insane.
Yeah. I mean, I think every time a new place comes to comes to Bell, that there's going to be a line out the door. Everyone wants to try the latest and greatest. But I thought it was great. I mean, the steak was good. What I had was good. And apparently, some people with allergies would disagree, but.
I talked to Sean and I said, Sean, they should have like a DoorDash delivery here where 100%. I just text to all the places, just from Bell, and I text it and they go up and down and just deliver it all the time. So
maybe that's our next business. Right. You're pretty nimble. You could go up there.
Yeah, I'll do it. I worked at pizzerias that delivered forever.
Yeah, even that. I was also looking at
the hovercraft thing or whatever.
Or how about a UPS store or a FedEx store or something here?
So you well, yes.
Go out.
I need a UPS store here.
Yeah, actually. Well, that's what I'm saying. And I mean, I even looked into talking about all these business ideas here at this place. It's horrible to run a UPS franchise. Apparently, no money for what you do. It's you end up such a small sliver of for all the work you're doing, such a small sliver, and it wouldn't even be worth it to open one up. But somebody else out there should definitely open up a UPS store here at Bell Works.
Yes.
How about a dry cleaner? I've been thinking about that.
There is a dry cleaner
in here.
Yeah, so you can drop off your clothes down at by the security desk, and the Homedale dry cleaners will come pick them up. And they'll do them for you and bring them back.
And let's talk about that. How do you drop
the
off
lady
your clothes?
The lady has a table here during the every once in a while.
Are they giving you a bag?
Yeah, so you have bags. I have two bags that I have my clothes in. And then
game
I drop,
changer.
Yeah, drop off the dry cleaning. You bring it down to the security desk. There's a no one knows about it. And the only time I see myself and the guys from Somerset Development. That's it.
Do some business development for them.
Yeah.
Get it going. We'll take a cut. I like it.
Yeah, Homedale dry cleaners, they pick it up, they drop it off, they do everything. They haven't quite figured out the whole billing thing. I get a text every so often saying, hey, could you Venmo me the money you owe us?
That seems legit.
Yeah, it seems really legit. But
I have a weird question. Nice, so let's just. So I've never done laundry service in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm off the boat Italian, and I have an Italian mother and an Italian wife. I'll just leave it there. Do you put your underwear in there?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean no?
My God. See?
Well, hold on. See, we're talking a dry cleaner or like a laundry service? I mean, if you're doing all of your laundry, yeah, I guess you would.
We used to have it in college where you would just throw in a big bag, get laundry service, and everything would come back pristine, folded, and just
see,
like
I've never gone that far. I've
so got my talking about
but he doesn't know if it was cleaning, actually his underwear coming back.
Pressed and folded. I mean, I don't know where you went to school, but jeez, we had
quarters.
Well,
we know where you went to school.
Yeah,
Quinnipiac University.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas Andrew went to.
He went to McGill.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess up in Quinnipiac, they do things differently. They give you a nice pressed underwear,
That's part of it. Wow. I guess when you pay whatever.
Did you guys say you wanted to have like more of a serious podcast?
Yeah. I want to be serious.
I don't
hard-hitting business podcast.
If you realize who you're talking to on this podcast. back to the restaurant thing. So Metaluna and another Mexican place is opening up in
something
the next couple of weeks.
Azul,
yes. Which I'm all in favor of. Yeah. So you wanted to – what did you want to bring up before?
I was talking with Kevin yesterday about his company on the VR side, and we were looking at the virtual reality headset that he was showing me. He's kind of mapped out a lot of Bell Works from a 360 camera. It was amazing what he was doing, so I wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, we...
Kevin, what are you doing?
Yeah, what am I doing lately? Now, we started just a traditional digital advertising agency, but, we saw, a lot of cool things going on in the VR space, and, we kind of jumped into that, and with it came certain hurdles. I mean, a lot of you know, when you're putting on any VR headset and you look at any real photography out there, it really sucks. I mean, there's not a lot of, people aren't using very professional cameras. You know, there's not a lot of high quality footage. So we ended up having to troubleshoot a lot of that stuff ourselves and, you know, bring on a photographer, you know, get, you know, certain equipment. We use, you know, the GoPro, a GoPro rig, or we shoot with a DSLR. And, you know, and just through our trials and tribulations here, you know, in the office, we ended up shooting a big part of the building and then pieced that together into a cool little walkthrough. You know, and two part, I mean, one, we're kind of using it as a thing to just kind of tour the office, and we're going to be offering it to some of the businesses here if they want to put something on their website, like a kind of walkthrough, you know, of Bell, and then like walk right in the front door of their office, and they can give an office tour in 360.
Are you doing the symbolic space as well? You're going to be doing a big
tour. Oh, yeah, I heard the space is beautiful down here in Lorenzo's office. Come visit him in the old symbolic area.
They're looking at me for me to say something, but when they go low, we go high.
Yeah, so there's several co-working spaces here at the building. We're upstairs on the second floor, Mike and I, and Lorenzo's down here in the old symbolic space. And just a different vibe in spot to spot. So, you know, occasionally we'll throw a rip out at him for some of the chairs and some of the pieces falling off of them and other.
It has character, my friend. It has character. So in the wedding industry, just because of that, there's a company that is doing this with all the, or they're trying to do this with all the catering halls.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going, because back in the late 90s, early 2000s, the 360 concept, virtual tour.
Yeah, the virtual
tour. That was
tours.
A big thing, which back then was cool, but it was as clunky as hell.
Yeah.
And it wasn't nearly as detailed. And obviously, now you can do what you're doing and you can put it in a car for test driving.
Yeah,
right,
yeah, exactly.
And stuff like that, right? So it's a lot more diverse. So someone's trying to do that in the wedding industry. And I've always said that if anybody wants to get into like videography or cinematography, the first place they should go to is every local car dealership in the world.
Oh my God.
They have the worst commercials. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe it's supposed to be. But like if you want to learn to make your chops in cinema, go to every local car dealership and take them all over and do them all because they have money to spend. And like you look at the Ray Catena commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could buy the same car somewhere else for a lot cheaper, but Ray Catena, his commercials, they're a little bit more sophisticated, yeah. I guess you could say. You're spending more. They also do things where they shut down the whole dealership for the day and they invite people out. So to piggyback onto what you were saying, you could go into the wedding world easily and deal with probably about 400 venues throughout the state.
Yeah, and we probably will. I mean, a lot of people, you know, in the real estate, they're using, you know, a certain type of rig. It's called a Matterport, and it's bulky, it's cumbersome. You know, you have to, like, move every 2 feet and take a new picture, and it takes a lot of time.
But you do this, or is this the part where you have that service where you send the camera to the realtor?
Well, we're actually doing both. I mean, we have some of the, you know, the easier-to-use cameras that they can do. If they just want it for web, you know, it does the trick. If you're trying to do something in VR, where you really have to fill a 360 space in a headset, you need something that's, you know, super high resolution.
But are you coming out for that usually?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're not going to send you the proper stuff back.
No. We have like a basic kit, like, you know, for someone trying to do some quick and easy web stuff where they can do it themselves. But yeah, for the VR stuff or anything really high level, we'll go out.
And if they call in the next 15 minutes, what kind of
special? Yeah, exactly. We'll throw it in. And I feel like another shameless plug too, and I'm like taking over, you know, some of the talking here. We just actually worked with a car dealer.
Oh, you did?
In the area.
Okay.
And the whole
test drive stuff?
Well, 360 test drive, but we filmed the commercial. You know, one of the guys from
so
here.
You would say that I was ahead of the curve.
You were ahead
of
the curve.
And you knew already.
And
I don't want to. Unless you're talking about his commercials when you're saying how bad the commercials, which
well,
be
no,
a
this, that
no,
was
I didn't get
premise.
To that part yet.
That was the whole premise, is that while we saw somebody who had a cool, I mean, I won't, you know, disclose it yet, but somebody took some pictures in front of the building with a really cool, you know, kind of muscle car.
Okay.
And we went back to them. We're like, oh, that, you know, it would be cool. You know, next time you should bring it out. We'll take it for a test drive. You know, and then, oh, by the way, why do all dealership commercials suck?
Yeah.
And I was asking an honest question, you know, like why?
Who did you ask that? The person?
The person who was running the Instagram account for the dealer.
For the dealer, okay.
For the dealership that brought
it's a
the
thing.
Car. It's a thing. And I know the answer is because a lot of the dealer owners, they want to get their face out there a lot. So
yeah,
they want to be on camera a lot of the time. It's a lot of an ego play. But this dealership in particular said, you know what, we don't do that much, you know, as far as production, high production stuff, because we don't want to go that route. We don't want to do...
They also might not want to scare people off thinking that they're going to be overpriced. Whereas, like, if you're wealthy, you go to, like, a Ray Katina because you want to be pampered, mm-hmm. right? You don't care about spending way more on the of a markup because you're going to get a lot of perks. But for the 80% in the middle, you know, whether I'm going to buy a Subaru Forester here or there, I'm still... You know, there's not much of a big difference. Typically, it's usually more so on the value with the trade and stuff like that, and other things that they can do for you.
But do you think that's it? Do you think they're trying to kind of?
I don't know. I just bought two cars in the past 2 weeks.
Brand new.
I did, and
brand new cars, huh?
Well, let me tell you, I had a 2001 PT Cruiser, and I don't give a crap about cars. Like, I literally need a radio, and maybe some heat.
Maybe.
My brother's a mechanic, so he's like all the whole car world. My wife's car, she always tends to stay too long in the car instead of getting out early.
Getting rid of it.
So what happened is she had a Subaru. I'll just make it quick. We were going to the dealership to trade it in, mm-hmm. and the radiator blew, and it's 3 years old.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Just needed a few more
So miles. I called to tell them, blah, blah, blah. So they helped us up a little bit. So she got a new car. 2 weeks later, my suspension blew on the parkway.
Oh, no.
And that is scary shit if you're driving on it. So I'm like... fine. Like, I haven't had a new car in like 15 years. Like, I just not a, I'm just not a car person. Like, if I could be like if I could do Uber for life, I would. I like to drive. I just don't care what kind of car I'm driving. So I went and got a new car. So it just happened to work out. And same dealership, same guy. And the owner at the dealership walks around like a peacock.
Mm-hmm.
He does. They do. So I see what you're saying with the commercial stuff. But then there's the opposite side, where I see these commercials for like the Land Rover, whatever. And like the truck is going upside down through a circle of cliffs and stuff. And I'm like, no, you know what I want to see? I want to see your car on the parkway with the potholes. Pull that stuff off. Like that commercial you could put up by Mike in Canada, right? The mountains and, you know,
and that was the
beauty of it. But so there's the two opposite ends. And I'm like, I don't need either of these. I just need...
That was the thing. Either they're doing a very low-budget local thing where they're the star and they're yelling at you in their underwear. And
they have the green screen behind them.
Yeah, exactly. Like the crazy green screen. Or they're using like this elegant B-roll that was sent from Land Rover.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you live in Jersey, but it's out in the desert or it's up in the mountains. And you're like, come on. That's not my daily drive. So, you know, when we ended up talking with this company, they were like, all right, well, here's a car. Film something that doesn't suck. And do it.
I can work with that.
And do it in our area. So we actually worked it out, and we filmed it right here.
See, I think that works good. I don't know if that plays well necessarily on a website. Not that it wouldn't play well, because there's nothing that's going to replace the actual test drive. And I could get a test drive wherever I want. Where I think that plays well is in micro ads.
Yeah.
Local.
Right.
Like that type of stuff. I think that plays. That could play really well for them.
Yeah. So we filmed a TV commercial, and we filmed some other stuff. And you know, and then we also film some teasers in which they can go watch the full commercial on the website, and then also they'll be able to do a 360 test drive. So we're kind of tying in the regular traditional, you know, advertising stuff we do with this, you know, emerging 360 and being able to take a test drive and do some other cool stuff. So yeah, it's balancing the both, you know, both worlds, and you know, we're looking forward to it. It's apparently going to be the first of you know, many to come. So,
okay. Question for you: can Lorenzo and I attend your wedding virtually? Is that possible?
We were thinking about at one point on the table because
I have broadcasted plenty of weddings on the old Ustream platform and .tv platforms in the past. Back in the
day. I heard this from everyone. Everyone told me, "Don't have a wedding, just elope." And, you know, that was the biggest thing. And we thought about it for a while. Like, maybe we'll just, like, FaceTime live it, you know.
You're not going to get any envelopes.
Just stream it.
You won't get any envelopes.
That's the truth. Yeah, that's the thing.
But that's the thing in New Jersey, right? So you've got
to get the envelopes.
Jersey, everything is overpriced because everybody gets money.
Isn't that crazy?
So when you go to...
generally, the parents will pay and then the kids get the money. It's a little bit of a backwards thing.
It's not. 80% of the time right now, parents are not paying for it.
Really? Interesting.
Okay. They are giving money.
Yeah,
They're helping. They're doing stuff. Very, I'd say one out of every four couples now have the traditional mom's and dad's paying for it.
Isn't that interesting? Even the parents give anything, right? And then it's like, hey, you're expected to be paid back per guest per head. Like you're supposed
to. You can expect to make about 60% back.
60%.
Yeah. 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 Maybe. And you'll remember who of that 40% who they were. I remember one of
couple. That's the Italian in you.
No.
I heard you guys keep the list.
The blacklist.
You guys keep the list.
There was, look, okay, I'll give the numbers. So mine was, if you paid public, I didn't because I grew up in the wedding industry and I grew up with the guys who owned it, okay? So it's $109 per person per plate at the place that I got married. I didn't pay, and that was 9 years ago.
Yeah, wow.
I didn't pay that. However, I do remember the couple that gave me $75 with their faces in the chocolate fondue thing and with food all over. So, yeah, no. Like, there's sensible, there's okay, and then there's, like, $75.
Yeah.
Have you gone to Applebee's lately?
Like, yeah, it's going to cost you $75 at Applebee's. You know?
You get, right, I don't care if ribs, commercials, all they want. It's still going to end up costing you about $40-$50 for two people to go eat. Anyway. So you'll make about 60% back.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But it's funny, too. Like, Canada's a different culture, right? So I had a bunch of family come from Canada.
You notice we're in the wedding part again. And I didn't bring it up.
The rest of us sucked the fact in.
Yeah.
We don't give envelopes. It's gifts, usually, right? So it's less of, like, the registry, and you're buying all these gifts.
Well, that,
and
right.
The, money.
Yes.
So my family's flying down with, like, these big, like, clocks.
I have done... I've done
like, a Canada wedding costs nothing, you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, here's a clock for you.
I have done wedding invitations where the couple has made me put on the invitation at the very bottom in small print, no boxed gifts.
Mm.
They're like, we don't want anything. We don't want anybody giving... Registry is usually engagement party and shower, but I wrote no box. There's been probably about 3 or 4 invitations in the past that I've done it, and I'm like... The first time, I'm like, really? You want me to do this? And like, yeah, I don't want to walk out with anything.
Cash.
Yeah, we're skipping the whole engagement party and all that kind of stuff. And,
okay.
You guys are going straight to it.
Just kind of straight to it. Yeah, I mean, I can see sometimes, it's drawn out, but yeah, I mean, everything's so expensive, especially in New Jersey, so.
Yeah. Because you get money. That's
4 parties to celebrate one day, it's like you're doing 4 parties as a lead up.
Don't get mad. Don't get mad.
I'm getting mad. No, it's
it's him.
It's all his fault. He's the reason.
I will tell you humbly, and this is truly humbly, but it's truly true. I have fundamentally changed the entire wedding industry.
So this is your fault.
Not based on that. What I have changed is I have changed the. And this has been a 12-year process. I have changed the design, the look, the everything, all the stuff that you see at these shows and stuff like that. I am telling you. I fundamentally have changed the entire wedding.
You heard it here first.
No, and I have, the whole portfolio to show it.
I've seen it. No, I think you've been
putting a lot of stuff up on. I treated companies like brands and like literally like the bride and groom. I've been making logos for the bride and groom monogram for 10 years.
Yeah, have you seen his stuff on Instagram?
Yeah,
follow you on Instagram.
He has it. We just connected about his wife. He just found out about him.
You showed me that.
No, yeah, you've been putting a lot of stuff up on on Instagram. I'm sure his stuff over the past.
You don't really? Because I don't see any likes from you on there.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I scroll.
Bro. All right.
I like what I like,
I got you.
If it's worthy of my life,
I don't want to know what you're liking.
Yeah.
So LinkedIn advertising really sucks. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Facebook. Too.
No,
Lorenzo likes Facebook.
I am telling you, I have a client right now. I am getting that client 30 leads per week.
Yeah.
On an $18 budget.
Wow, that's pretty good.
With lead gen forms. Mm. Now, part of it is you get a free trial out of it, which I get that part, right? But it's the data's still there now.
I don't trust the numbers on Facebook. That's my problem.
The only number that matters to me is
Results.
But you can look at it. Like, I'm not looking at reach on the Facebook ads. I know we just like, this is like 2 podcasts. We just want like weddings and now.
Facebook. And now we're on Facebook advertising.
Reach is, like, what important is the relevancy of your ad? And the bottom line is whatever is your conversion. Like, I never, and I know this is like taboo in the SEO world, I never set up conversions or goals in any of them because. Conversions, like I was doing it in LinkedIn, and it's like, what's the value of this if this and this happens? Mm-hmm. Until it happens, I don't care what you tell me conversions and goals are.
Right.
So, but LinkedIn, I revisited it to do some ads geared towards the real estate industry, right? Mm-hmm. It's mind-numbingly dumb the way they have it set up. Do you guys do any LinkedIn?
Yeah, ads? I have. Yeah. I just found it was so expensive.
Like, it is a little bit on the higher price point, but the client is much more vetted,
right.
And mm-hmm. I find that you're not going to be in a Facebook state of mind.
Yeah, I think they're more receptive on LinkedIn to business.
More receptive. Well, it depends on the industry, too. Like, right? Yeah. Like, realtors are living on LinkedIn half the time as well. But I can't edit, go back and edit an ad. Mm. Whereas Facebook, you can manipulate and go and edit 100 times over.
It's true.
Yeah. One of my forms that I filled out on for lead gen on LinkedIn, they said because the two different links didn't match, display destination, whatever, it got disapproved. It got rejected. So I wanted to go in and edit it. And I couldn't. And you can't edit it. At, like, even if you, like, you have a, like, I do a carousel style, the slots for the different images, I wanted to move them around. You can't do that either.
That's it. One and done.
It's unbelievable.
And then you have to delete and repost, and then you lose any, you know, any messages.
You just got
to
start. Whereas Facebook, you can just go over and over. But, yeah, go ahead. You hate Facebook. Go ahead.
I just think the I think that the reporting and the numbers are just really off. You know, I don't know what numbers they're feeding me, but you know, I'm seeing, you know, posts that, you know, you put up there and it says it had, you know, 12,000 views, but 3 likes.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I think.
Like, or
would I be safe in saying that you're not a that you're in the middle of understanding the Facebook platform in terms of the advertising board or?
Yeah, I've been doing it for quite a while. I mean, but not. I actually think it used to be a little better,
okay.
You know. And now it's kind of. It's not a matter of the effectiveness. It's a matter of trusting the numbers. You know. It's,
right.
I feel like I used to get less impressive numbers but better results, and now I'm getting these crazy wow numbers for my spend, but not as good. Not as good results.
Really, audience is a. Is the major factor on Facebook ads. If you don't have, and I'm not asking you to answer it, but so a dance studio that I have, that I work, or I should say for myself alone, when you do your ads, you can do different audiences and stuff. I have 20 audiences, mm-hmm. like separate, completely. Mm-hmm. You can't have just 2 or 3 audiences because if you do and you start pulling into, I want to do New Jersey, it really is not effective at all.
So you're saying you have 20 audiences that you're doing the same campaign to? I have 45 or different A/B ads. Testing? Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So, like, if I'm advertising to the real estate market, I have, in the real estate market, I have 3 different ads alone with different audiences. So I have one geared towards female realtors, one geared towards male, and one geared towards real estate in general. I used to have one based on Latin-based, but I have the proper photos and stuff like that work with it.
I guess you've A/B tested down to a couple of ads that you know work, and then you just run them.
I wish I could tell you I'm that sophisticated about it. I don't do any A/B testing. That's where I'm more meat and potatoes. Like, mm-hmm. I know when the phone rings and I look at it and it'll say this, this, and this. What I like about the lead generation forms is that now they have to take the step of filling out the form, which is only 5 or 6 things.
Vets them to a certain extent.
From there, it takes them to the landing page where they book the appointment. And when they do that, it's like it goes from like maybe a 20% chance to like 90% chance because mm-hmm. they're booking an appointment. So that and the data that Facebook has makes it, and plus it crosses over into Instagram and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But yeah, no, LinkedIn's got to fix their shit.
Yeah, it's funny though with Facebook too, right? Is to your point, the numbers, right? And sharing the numbers. And I spent the past 6 years in advertising. You find any number that wows somebody to say, hey, this got 75,000 reach. And a lot of clients that don't really know, they're like, wow, that's great.
Reach is the deadliest number, but it's the biggest marketer advantage because they'll tell you, well, you got 40,000 reach. But, you know, after a while, the client's like, 40,000? Like, you know, even AdWords is the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Impressions are something that I look at. But if you look at some of the impression numbers on if you're running Google AdWords and stuff like that, I mean, there's no reason I have, there's no how I have 26,000 impressions from one campaign.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I do, can I get a little bit lucky and mm-hmm. you know, so
that's
there is that.
That's my gripe. That's what I'm saying. I think I would say, you know, it's probably a great idea for almost all my clients, you know, to have some, you know, sort of play in the, you know, whether it's, you know, AdWords or social, depending upon what they're doing. But.
Right.
You know, as far as the reach and the impression numbers lately, I think it's kind of ridiculous, and I just don't see it being possible that 20, 30, 40,000 people saw the ad and no one, you know.
Well, it's not.
Yeah.
You know, and saw means
yeah, saw
a
means
lot
what?
Of different things.
Yeah,
like
that's the problem.
If Mike saw the ad and I'm in the room, I think that they count that as
yeah,
well.
I think so, too.
I think LinkedIn's interesting, though, from an organic standpoint. Like, if you LinkedIn, especially with the video you released earlier, or I guess late last year, if you play that right and start getting the engagement, I mean, you can get some pretty significant results on just an organic post.
And you remember, get a lot of... I feel like that you get legitimate... Let's say in my case, the realtors, right? I'll get legitimate realtors. Right. The problem is that I find that a lot of them probably will be the person who will say, I have a $500 annual marketing budget.
Right.
You know, in the initial stages and stuff like that. What I'm trying to do is to land two or three realtors who are under like Keller Williams, but have their own branch and have six people underneath them. And they want, because that there's at least some money that can be played there. Sometimes individual realtors. So I advertise after LinkedIn on their people who list themselves as luxury realtors, figuring that there's because
more money
like
there.
The Ryan Serhans and all those, you know, all those guys have made it, so that realtors really want to be ahead of the curve. Plus I have a whole page designated to realtors, so when they go to it they see stuff I've done, so it helps that way.
And you're right, I mean, some do. I mean, when they get to that point, I think it was Chris Walsh is another local guy. I mean, I think he partners with an agency team.
They all do on some level, but I know it's like, and on LinkedIn, it's like, so I told you for the dance studio, he got like 30 leads for like $24.
Yeah.
But on LinkedIn, it's $9 I'm paying to click.
Right. That's the challenge.
But I only have three clicks.
Right.
In a week. So, and it's vetted because of the appointment and stuff like that.
It's hard. I think each platform, and this is social media in general, but they kind of like have their time, and then they start getting so, like for LinkedIn, I get 30 messages a day in mails from random people, usually software developers, and it's this templated message, and they send the same thing the next week and the next week. So the hard part is I've talked to a lot of people saying, hey, I like to prospect on LinkedIn and direct mail people, and I'm like, yeah, but that person is getting 20 of these a day from a bunch of random people, so they discount everything, right? And I think you started these platforms over time, they all start getting so inundated with so much crap that you just kind of discount everything.
You do, but that's why if you go with, back to the audience, if you go very niche, like if you, I could have 40 audiences for you, Mike. I get a
pitch.
I say it because they can't
the
see. They can't see who I'm pointing to. If you call the next 15 minutes, no. But I'm saying
I'm going to say your name several times in the conversation to make it a point.
Yes, or I could be like, you know, demand him by calling him a different name. Like, and be like, he'll be like, no, it's Mike. I'll be like, oh yeah, right, Mike.
Yeah.
So Mitch,
play the alpha role.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. What? Okay. No, but the audience part, so that you can, and you have to be a little bit creative. I find that a lot of clients tend to say, we want to do something different, until you present them something different.
Of course.
Right? And then all of a sudden, I had one ad, I remember, for a DJ company, and it was a microphone. And it was like on a tilted height. And I said, everybody has a microphone, but ours is the biggest. Right? And like, to me, I don't give a crap. Like, that's the type of stuff where, like, yes, we do live in a different time, but people still laugh.
Right.
And people will find, and they don't want to go with it. And I'm just like, you know, you want to have a little playfulness. So as far as the LinkedIn stuff, yes, I do realize that you get like inundated with crap. But like, if you want to stand out, you have to then do the things to stand out and not just say you want to stand out.
No, I'm big on that on the advertising side now. I mean, I think advertisers got away for a long time of just sending you crap and expecting you to respond to it. And now the bar has been set way higher, like either educate me, entertain me, you know, whatever it might be, and then I'll pay attention to the ad. I was talking to my wife about it the other day. Like, TV is crazy to me that you have ad. You pay $100 a month for your cable.
$151.
$151, and you have to watch ads. What the hell is that? You pay $10 a month.
But
for
that's just a culture shift. To me, it's just it doesn't make sense to me how you would see. I like cable in the sense of this. Shows like that were found popular on the USA Network a couple years ago. I forget which. There was one prominent show that came up popular. It wasn't Game of Thrones. It was a little bit right Law. Whatever it was. USA. My point was, it was USA Network hit big because
probably
of
Law and Order, one of those.
No, it was a little bit more modern than that.
It's like a Burn Notice or something. Like
whatever it was. My point was that if cable didn't put that channel on there, that show would have never picked up. So there's a balance. Be careful what you wish for, because when you say, I just want to pick whatever I want to watch, you're going to end up picking the same thing that I grew up with, which is CBS, ABC, and NBC, the modern day version. Meaning that you're going to watch your three channels, your four shows, your five shows, and you're never going to see anything else. So while cable is clearly has to rethink their pricing, they provide stuff that you and I could be on and possibly hit where, and it's, what's the modern day cable? It's YouTube. It's the same shit. It is always, it's just, whoever generation is in thinks their stuff is obviously cooler. But when you say no commercials, I say to you, if you have no commercials, how are you going to possibly not get involved? Now, there's better ways to do it, right? Like soccer games, they have the little ad up top. There's a way to go about it. The NFL, if you notice, they've done, when they go to a commercial sometimes, they'll make the game smaller, put the commercial on the right with the audio from the commercial. There's ways to be creative about it, but I can't say that, like, I don't want to do this, I don't want to see this, and then expect a capitalist society to boom.
Yeah, but I don't agree with that, only in the sense of living in the advertising space. only living in the advertising space, though, and just saying, we're holding you hostage as a user, and we used to do this in advertising all the time. If you want to watch this video, you have to watch this 15-second pre-roll, if you want to watch this sports game live, you have to watch, 3 minutes of commercials at the end of every inning.
But how are we supposed to make money?
But that's the thing.
The content can't just
be like... That's why it's so ripe for disruption, because now companies are saying, you can pay me $20 a month, I can create all this unbelievable content, and the revenue is that way. I'm getting the revenue from you.
But you're going to pay... You're paying more.
I would pay more.
You're going to pay more.
So I would pay a premium on a website to not have my ads, not have pop-ups.
Right. But
and I think that is actually paying less, because my attention span getting pulled over is more of a cost to me than paying a premium on it.
Like
works. Like Spotify, for example, I will pay $9 a month for eternity, because I want to be able to have the premium version with no ads, because $9 a month is worth it for me not to listen to it.
I have Spotify, and I don't pay for it. And I did used to pay for it, and I have Spotify. I have it in my car. Now I'm all fancy with my car, my technology, right? I listen to commercials. I can't tell you how much it does not bother me.
Interesting. And it's different generations.
Definitely an age.
There's two different ways of absorbing.
Bring us home, Kevin.
Yeah, bring you home. Yeah, because we're close to
the media.
No, but there's two different ways of absorbing entertainment. There's passively and there's actively, right? So I think you're always going to need cable because of those times where you just want to be passive, right? You want something on in the background. Maybe you're going to mess around on your phone at the same time. You don't really care what's on. You just want something on. And that's, I think, when you're going to have the commercials and everything. Because if you just had Netflix and Hulu and those things, the choice is always up to you then. You're always saying, well, what do I want to watch tonight? And then if I'm watching a series, I have to actively be involved in that. I think for a lot of people, sometimes they just want to veg out.
And I'm the same way. I'm not proposing that people, cut cable. I watch cable all the time.
Right.
I'm proposing that advertisers have to step up their game and either make their ads more appealing, because right now everyone DVRs and then they just fast forward, right?
Right.
Because I know some people that work in the TV space selling ads, they're having a hard time because they're like, no one watches these things, right? Yeah. I mean, I watched a 7-minute Yeti ad, like the Yeti cooler ads. Yeah. Because it was this unbelievable video about this big sheep hunt, and it had Yeti a few places, but it was just a really entertaining.
But you're in the bubble. Nine people out of 10 wouldn't give a shit about that.
Right, but the right but you're
in
will.
That right, right, but you're in that world. So because you're in that world, like I am, and Kevin is, we're in that world. So how we look at things with advertisers, it doesn't bother me because I'm used to it. It drives you insane, and I get both sides of it. The average person that's what they're going after. They have to say to themselves, I know that they'll say it to themselves because I see it in my wedding world, right? Quick side note, right? There's a company I use. They do everything for me, invoicing, contracts, everything. I have it all there. It's $25 a month.
Right.
To me, that is legendary pricing. That is unbelievable that I now eliminated FreshBooks and five companies. And there are people in there that are complaining about it. So while you say the advertising, you watch the Yeti thing because it captured you, most people, commercials... if they're not willing to pay what you're willing to pay, right? Except in the things that is important to them. So Spotify's a big deal for you, right? Mm-hmm. You or something you like. I don't give a crap, right? The average person is somewhere in the middle. So they'll take their two or three to skip ads, and then the rest they'll just live with it. And that's where advertisers have to go. So advertisers should create ads. Some can just suck. Some can be good. So whatever it is, the same concepts. It's the time that it takes. I see an ad on YouTube, and it says 10 seconds, and then skip ad. I'm good. I see the one that's 30 seconds, and I'm you're death to me.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what I mean. Right.
So there's, it's really time. It's not what it is, because I laugh at the ShamWow commercial, second bring up tonight, of the ShamWow. Right. It's the worst commercial. The dude's funny with the spun. So there's a balance between creativity and time, and I think time is more important. I would rather see a horrible commercial for 5 seconds than the Yeti for 7. And I'm not saying that.
Right, right. Because right. That's what pulls. But it's interesting to say, what's the value to that brand, right? Like, that's, again, we used to do pre-roll 15 seconds and then you could skip it. And advertisers were saying, well, why is everyone skipping it? Because you're not creative. You're not creating anything there. But I personally am,
You know who's got a great pistachios commercials?
Right.
They come in, right, and it's 10 seconds.
Geico.
And that's it. That, and it's clear, Chris, they have, you know the branding already. It's the green and black package. It's right. The white background. It's the 10 seconds. It reminds me of the old Apple commercials, the PC versus.
Right.
They were longer, but it's 10 seconds in and out. If they do that quick hits and mimic what you see on the web, so that a commercial break on cable has 7 commercials totaling 45 seconds versus
right.
3.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, so they need to change the way they do it.
Just do quick hits, because our experience on the internet is boom, 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 boom.
Right.
Whether people think it's a good thing the way it goes or not, that's another discussion. But the creativity is important. However, the time is the most important.
Right. Right. Which is still creativity. Like, how quickly can you
get a message across? Yes, how can you do it in that quick 10 seconds?
Right? How can you get a message in 10, 15 seconds?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's just going to be interesting to see. You know, I have a few friends that have moved totally off of cable, but I just...
I'm almost there, and I'm looking at Fubo because it's the only one that carries MSG for the Rangers.
Interesting, okay.
And that's $44.
Sports is big, right? That's why everyone's paying
sports. Sports,
right?
Yeah,
it's the hardest thing is the blackout laws, because I can get any package I want, but I can't watch my Rangers, I can't watch the Mets. Mm. Fubo is the only one who has MSG and SNY. So I'm there, but then I'm like, but I have to get a Roku for every TV, which is fine. It's only a one-time thing. You paying to play. Yeah. No, you know, yeah, it's just how you want your experience to be. They're telling me they have to go. I'm going to still just keep talking until they walk away. All right. Thanks, guys. Any closing notes? Go ahead, because you have to go. So
I think that's good. I think we might actually have 2 podcasts out of that one, so we might have to.
No, it's not going
to
chance. There's no way I'm going to edit and break that. What are we going to do? No, because then what happens is one sounds real serious and the other one sounds real silly.
All right. So we got a little weddings, a little Facebook advertising, LinkedIn advertising, and
a little anti-cable. I hope I don't get
any anti-cable. That,
so.
Yeah.
So we're gonna try this every 2 weeks.
Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
Ciao.
See you guys later.
Bye. Bye.